Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello, everybody. All you people that held on, we had a nice first hour. It was a little bit more relaxing than it is a lot of times, but we covered some good heavy stuff. I got a little rant off of my chest, you know, and we covered some of the Charlottesville trial. We covered some of third chapter of Judges, but I think the pastor was Pastor Murray. I bet you that our next guest coming on tonight. We have two guests coming on. A young man who's very, very dear to me. He's like a son to me. I love him to death, love his family to death. He's my favorite family member over there, I'll have to admit it. It is none other than Jason Rob Miller. I've adopted him, so he's got a new nickname. But it's Jason Rob. His dad is a famous Pastor Rob. I think he's the national director of the Ku Klux Klan, the Knights Council of the Ku Klux Klan over in Harrison, Arkansas. Jason is a well-established attorney. In fact, he's too damn busy to suit me because I can never get in touch with him. Every time I call him, he's in the freaking court. But anyway, I guess he got to make that money, though. And we also, everybody, you people out there, you know Fred Leutcher, he's been on. But before we go any further, I'm going to let these two guys introduce themselves. Introduce yourself, if you will, son. Jason, and put a plug in for your law firm and your family. Give us a quick bio and what you do and what makes you tick besides your five kids and your beautiful wife. So go ahead, Jason.
Well, that's what definitely makes me tick every day. My name is Jason Robb. I'm an attorney over here in Harrison, Arkansas, which is in the Ozark Mountains, about 30 miles south of Branson, Missouri, if anyone knows where Branson, Missouri is. My father is Pastor Thomas Robb, who's the national director of the Knights Party. He's been involved in the racialist movement since the mid-60s, him and my wife, him and my mom, since the 1960s, and he's been the national director of the Knights since the late 80s. He's also the senior pastor of the Christian Revival Center, which we hold weekly Sunday services. And so our whole family's been raised in the white resistance movement. Our grandkids, kids, all our family members are well entrenched in helping to fight this evil that we see what's around us. And every day, what makes me tick every day is getting up and trying to fight a future for my five children, because I already know the mess that they're going to have to deal with when they get older as adults. And so every day, We are just trying to do what we can in our small part, as everyone else is doing, being good, faithful Christian soldiers, and just every day just trying to move forward.
You make me proud to be an associate of yours, Jason. You really do. And people, you know, we all know Fred Leutcher, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring him on just a second. Fred Leutcher is he's not only the foremost expert in the world. He is the only expert living in the world who is an expert on gas chambers. He designed gas chambers, electric chairs, the lethal injection machines. He is recognized by the nation of Canada, the nation of the United States, in some states of Germany, as being the foremost expert in the world on gas chambers. Here's what we want to do. We want to go over with our attorney tonight. Jason Robb is a very good attorney. He works himself. I mean, he has a great, thriving law practice, smart attorney. We're going to use him tonight as our resource person. We want to try to talk about the possibility of trying to get Fred Leutcher entered into the courtroom, the federal court in Charlottesville, Virginia, to counteract their so-called expert. I think her name was Deborah Lipstadt, the psychotic white Christian-hating Jew who's supposed to be an expert on the Holocaust. Well, the plaintiffs just dropped her in out of the blue on our people, on the defendants. So we want to be allowed the right to introduce Fred Leutcher. So Fred, if you will, give us your little piece, and we want to ask Rob, you come up with some questions. How do we go about trying to get you interjected into the court to counteract this Deborah Lipstadt And I know almost nothing about that. So we have the expert on tonight, who is the attorney. And that's Jason is the attorney. So he's the expert. So go ahead, Fred. Say your piece before we get going,
okay. Fella. Well, my name is Fred Lucher. I'm an engineer. I've designed photographic hardware for taking photographs from aircraft. I design navigational hardware for the military, and I am also an expert on execution equipment, well, electric chairs, gas chambers. I invented the lethal injection machine, and I developed the procedure for hanging. It's called the protocol for hanging, and that's the only one used in the United States at present in locations where they do hanging. Because of this, I was asked by Ernst Zundel and his defense team when his trial was going on in Toronto to go to Poland and examine the alleged execution facilities supposedly used by the Germans to execute 6 million. And of course, I found out it was just nothing but a big joke. There were no execution facilities there. There were no gas chambers. It is not categorically, it is not possible to execute more than one, two, maybe three people at the same time in a gas chamber. It's not practical, and I cannot build hardware to do that. So that kind of takes the whole theory of the legend or the lie of the Holocaust. And that kind of throws it all in the dump because it's not possible to do what they say was done. But at any rate, I wrote a report for the Zundel trial that dealt with that. And we're here now. I guess we want to discuss what's going on in Charlottesville. And I have a question for Jason. How the hell did they get her on the witness list and get her into testifying? It's got nothing, you know, the Holocaust has got nothing to do with what happened in Charlottesville. I mean, Charlottesville, to me, was cut and dried. You had people that had a permit to march, and then you had left-wingers who didn't have a permit, shouldn't have been there, and they attacked the right-wingers who were marching. So, I mean, it's clear-cut. The left-wingers were the bad guys here.
Exactly. Well, and that's the very excellent question, and that's what I'm... Honestly, I'm confused as well, is because one is for any type time there's going to be any type of jury trial,
right.
You know, you have procedures, as you're well aware, and each side is going to know, you know, 30, 60 days advance for the most part before there's who the witness list is, the documents that's going to be introduced in evidence. All of those have already been taken care of on your pretrial motions, your jury, all that. And so to them to just throw this person in to talk about an issue that has no relevance whatsoever regarding Charlottesville, I'm just kind of flabbergasted. And I'm surprised that a judge would allow that, unless a judge is just allowing it to hoping that it would taint the outcome. But that witness should not have been allowed to even testify about the Holocaust because it has no issue that's presently before the jury. I mean, the question is, was there a conspiracy between all these people and all these groups to come to Charlottesville and try to commit some type of crime? No, that's what the plaintiff is trying to allege. And to have someone talk about the Holocaust has nothing to do with it. It'd be like trying to have a witness to talk about if we landed on the moon or if there's, you know, space extraterrestrials, you know, that's going to be coming to the Earth. It has nothing to do with the issue that's at hand. And so for them to bring this lady here, in my opinion, the only reason they're trying to do that is trying to show that these people have a belief system that is out there and hope to taint the jury pool. I think that's what they are trying to do.
Well, was she on the original witness list? I guess the answer to that is no. Is that correct?
That I do not know. I would be surprised if she was. But what I've heard is that they threw her in there at the last minute. So now maybe she was already on the witness list. But even if you're on the witness list, you still have to talk and testify stuff that's relevant to the trial. That's ultimately, no, the question is, okay, let's say she was on the witness list, but what is the issue? The issue is the conspiracy to commit the so-called crime. And so why are they having this lady to testify and talk about the Holocaust when that has nothing relevant to the issue?
Well, at this point, I assume that they've tainted the jury pool. So,
I mean, that's to me, that's the only reason why they would have her testify. And if she was not on the original witness list and they just threw her in at the last minute, I really would be surprised that the judge would have allowed that on a procedural matter, just because of the fact that it does not give the defendant enough time to get expert witnesses such as yourself to counteract her if they're trying to bring her in as an expert witness.
Yeah, it's my guess, and I'm not there. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm also not there watching the trial. But it's my guess that if the defendants attempt to bring in evidence that she's wrong, and I'll tell you this, but she is not an expert on the Holocaust.
Hey, Fred, we've got to go to our first break. Fred, hold that thought. We'll be right back in a minute, and I think that Monica Schaefer is listening in tonight, so in the next couple of minutes, she may want to ask a question, too. In fact, I think she probably will. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Well, dear people, without wasting any time at all, everybody and his mama knows Miss Monica Schaefer, my sister. She's coming on. She has a comment. Here's how we're going to do it. Miss Monica and Fred, they're going to be running questions and comments to our resident expert tonight. Our resident expert is the lawyer, Jason Robb. So he's going to answer all their questions. So go ahead. Miss Monica has a comment she wants to make and maybe a question for our attorney expert. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, you know, last week's show, it came out. I hadn't heard about this before, but Deborah Lipstadt was called into this trial. And I know a fair bit about who Deborah Lipstadt is. She's a professor of Holocaust studies. And I just about fell off my chair. I thought, what does she have to do with this Charlottesville trial? Absolutely nothing. And so really what they're doing is trying to change course here with this trial with a completely different topic that has nothing to do with Charlottesville, but they are going to try to railroad the trial into being about the Holocaust. And it's not about the Holocaust. This is their way of derailing what the trial is about, because once they reframe it, that's what they're doing. They're going to put a new frame on it. That's it. Like, I would agree with what Jim Rizzoli said last week about this being a way for them to make the trial about something that it isn't about. And I also agree with what he said, that means they are losing on anything that has to do with the actual trial. Like, they've lost, so they have to bring in the Holocaust, and you know what happens with that is there's a one narrative allowed and that's it. But really, it's she should be kicked out of that trial. I mean, she has nothing to do there. So that would be my comment about that.
Well, I don't know if Jason's had a time to watch follow this trial with any of y'all, but what about Miss Monica's comment about, would you like to add anything to that to enlighten us?
Well, I mean, I think she's absolutely right. I mean, the fact is, when you're trying to bring up an issue that's not relevant, it means that they're somewhat afraid that there are points that they have to show in order to get a conviction. Is falling apart. And so if they weren't concerned, I think they would have continued to attempt to show evidence, you know, text messages, pictures, you know, social media stuff to try to paint this, you know, this conspiracy that there was all these groups out there to come to Charlottesville to try to, you know, cause violence and havoc upon, you know, the citizens of Charlottesville. And so the point is, the fact that they're bringing someone else that has no relevance whatsoever, to me, believes that they're aware that they don't have those elements, you know, in the statute to get a conviction. And so, you know, with the jury, you know, what a jury does is, you know, they're going to look at all the evidence, they're going to go back to their rooms, and they're going to deliberate, and they're going to be looking to see, you know, all the evidence that's been introduced into evidence, does it fit the statute? Does it fit all these different elements? And I think that they're kind of hoping that will be like a Hail Mary, that they're hoping that this will just cause them to say, well, there's this evil racist, and yeah, we'll just go ahead and convict them. And that doesn't always happen. I mean, obviously, there's instances that it does happen, but it doesn't always happen. But I want to say that, again, I have not been there, so I don't know what, you know, the attorneys are doing, but I'm assuming they are objecting for her to testify. They're objecting. They're putting it on the record that her testimony is not relevant. And the reason you have to object, because if you don't put it on the record or you don't object to it, then you can't appeal it. You can't use that as an appealable issue. So they need at least to be objecting up and down every time she's testifying, every time she's trying to introduce any type of evidence, that she has no relevance whatsoever regarding this trial.
Well, that's comforting. Anything to add to that, Ms. Monica, before we go back to Fred?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent commentary, what you made, Jason. They do absolutely need to object at every step of the way her testimony, which is completely irrelevant. And like you say, they're afraid that they're losing ground based on their evidence. So yeah, that's good. That's really all I wanted to say about that. What I just mentioned in the break there was that about the Ku Klux Klan, you know, we learned something in school that is very different from what reality, just like everything else, that they invert and turn upside down for us. And so you know, I don't know if you'd like to just in a nutshell give a little bit of a different picture of what the Ku Klux Klan is about in reality, because really what the general consensus is out there from the mainstream is that it's just this evil thing, you know, this evil group of people. And I think that nothing could be further from the truth. I've learned a little bit since my awakening to, you know, the real history and real truth that the beginnings of the Ku Klux Klan were in response to just absolute crime and mayhem that was happening that was not being dealt with in the courts, or, you know, that basically there was a lot of murder and rape going on by the blacks who were newly freed or whatever. I'm not sure, but maybe you could just make a brief comment about that, if you could, please.
Yeah, I mean, the Klan was founded in 1865. I have a little bit of a horse on my throat, so I apologize. But yeah, it was founded in 1865, and it was founded for the sole purpose to repel the Northern troops out of the South. After the War of Northern Aggression, or Southern Independence, however a person wants to call it, the South was divided up into, I believe, 11 districts, federal districts. And they, whites could not vote, they could not hold office, they could not, some places in the states, they could not hold ownership and property. And so basically they were not allowed to be on juries. And so at that point, the Klan was founded for the sole purpose to repel the Northern troops out. And when they did that, the Klan then was disbanded and, of course, started back up, you know, in the 1920s. But ever since then, the Klan has always been known as a white rights organization. It's a Christian organization. And so the enemy, the Jewish supremacists, they hate the Klan. They hate anybody. They hate any white organization, white Christian organization that will defend their race and culture and heritage. And you could be the Klan, you could be any other white, pro-white organization, and they're going to vilify you, and they're going to call you all the evil names in the book that we can all imagine, simply because, you know, we serve our God and serve our race. And it comes that down to a nutshell. And so this Charlottesville trial is no different. They hate those individuals that came to Charlottesville. They were there protected. They had a lawful permit. A federal judge said you could go there and hold your rally at a Lee statute. So they were there. They had a lawful permit. And the only ones that are there to commit a conspiracy were the anti-whites, those anti-white organizations. They were conspiring against those groups and those individuals who were there clearly to exercise their First Amendment protected activity to go there and to hold a lawful rally that has been upheld by a federal judge. And so anyone that should have been charged should be those anti-white organizations.
Thanks for that explanation. You see, not only is the Ku Klux Klan demonized and called names, but the lies that are told about the Ku Klux Klan knows no limits, just like the lies about pretty much everything else in our history. And it really is this anti-white agenda. And so I guess when one understands that there is a war on whites, then the picture becomes much more clear about, you know, what is going on there with that and why the Ku Klux Klan has been so demonized and lied about.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I hear the music.
Demonized and lied about. But they were demonized and lied about by the same people that said, give us Barabbas. We'll be right back, people, after this break. And I hope you're enjoying the show, because I most certainly am. So hang on to your seats.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A federal appeals court has upheld its stay on President Biden's vaccine or test mandate for companies with at least 100 employees. In a 22-page ruling on Friday, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the mandate was fatally flawed and barred OSHA from enforcing the mandate pending adequate judicial review of a motion for permanent injunction. Medicare premiums are on the rise. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
Going up, Medicare premiums are. The federal government making a Friday night announcement that Medicare Part B premiums are going to rise over 14% starting next year, boosting monthly payments for those in the lowest income bracket from about $148 a month to about $170 a month.
This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
Mark Levin joined Hannity on Fox discussing how the media smeared Kyle Rittenhouse in his trial and ignored key facts. He said they have no intention of seeking to be objective.
The issue is whether this Kyle Rittenhouse, this young man, had a right to defend himself. And the answer is absolutely yes. It's not that the prosecution was incompetent. They were politically motivated.
He said the media in this country is helping to fuel riots, and it's helping to fuel hate in this country. Former Trump administration advisor Steve Bannon was indicted Friday by a federal grand jury on two counts of contempt of Congress after he didn't comply with a subpoena to appear in front of the House January 6th panel. Bannon, 67, was charged with one contempt count involving his refusal to appear for a deposition and another that involved his refusal to hand over documents to the committee. This is USA Radio News.
Well, dear people, we're right back. We're at the bottom of the second hour, and we have some wonderful, wonderful guests on. I love them all dearly. I really do. God bless them. They made, you know, Jason and Monica made two salient points before this last break. In 1865 and before, our enemy in 1865, people, they hate us. They hate our ancestors. They hate them. So many of them hated them because they were white, because they were Christians. And they wanted to make their life as miserable hell. They were being raped in broad daylight. They were beating old men and young boys. Well, let me see. We talked about, Bernadette Dorn and the underground organization. I just mentioned his name twice. I forgot his name already. But what was his name? Anyway, those people, Bill Ayers. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Jason. Bill Ayers, Bernadette Dorn, back in the late 50s, early 60s, back then my day, back the Vietnam days, they were setting bombs off the courthouses. They were murdering white police officers. They hated us. They hate people like us. Listen. That was the same evil spirit of the Civil War that Jason brought up, Monica brought up. Okay, fast forward to nowadays, Charlottesville. The same people that hate the people, the patriots that went to Charlottesville, they hate them for the same reason that they hate the Klan. It doesn't matter. You can say that you're the Southern Holy Roly Association. You believe in white rights. If you just think that if you're white, and you are proud of being white, you're proud of your heritage, you love your, you commit the horrible sin of loving your wife, loving your children, loving your parents, your grandparents, and being proud of your culture, they hate you. They don't care if you're the Klan or the people, that the everyday guy who went to Charlottesville. You're all the same as far as them. That's the God's truth. That was a great point they made. And don't think, you people, white, if you white people out there, don't think that you're going to escape because you're not a member of the Klan, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to go to Fred, because we're going to ask Fred, how would he go about, what would he do if we could get him into court? How would he go into court to rebut this Deborah Lipstadt? And then we're going to ask Jason, our resident legal expert, how we go about getting him into court. So, Fred, with that that aside, what would you do if we could somehow get you in the courtroom? What would you say to the jury? What would you say to the judge and the Deborah Lipstadt? What would you say to them about this so-called this patented sacred God that will have the jealous God of the Holocaust that will have no other gods before it? What would you say to him, Fred?
Well, what we first have to decide, I think we can reasonably assume that the jury pool has been tainted at this point. What we have to determine, we just can't turn around and start talking about the Holocaust in general. We got to find out what Deborah said, and we got to counter each point that she said. Now, Deborah is not, I don't care what her job is, she is not an expert on the Holocaust. She has her chairman, her chair at the university. It's based on the fact that Jewish money bought it for her. So, I mean, she's certainly not qualified, and she's never been qualified. But the interesting thing now is we're going to have to determine what happens with the judge. And the judge never should have let her testify. Now, chances are, if we bring in my report or myself as an expert witness to counter what she said, chances are the judge is going to say, no, I'm not going to allow it because this trial is not about the Holocaust, even though he's let her.
If they would allow it, though, Fred, how would you go about doing that? Put it this way. Let me ask you this. I don't want to interrupt. What were you going to do? Well, you know, when you went, you were on the Ernst Lundell's defense team in Canada. Right. Let the audience know, would you use those same tactics in Charlottesville? And if you would, what were those tactics? Well, go ahead.
I'd have to know what she testified to, because I would have to counter all of the points. That's the issue. I don't know what
in
she
order
said,
to prove, put it this way.
I need to
what
read
would you do
transcript?
To prove, to give your evidence that there was no Holocaust? I'm sorry if I'm talking over you, Fred. Just say if you went in there, just say if somebody brought you, say that Deborah Lipstadt wasn't even there, what would you do to convince the jury that there was no Holocaust?
I would bring my report in, and I would explain to them what the report meant. If the judge didn't accept it, I would have to read the report into the record like I did in Canada, because they had an idiot judge up there, too, that was damned if he wasn't going to keep it out. But I would have to start from square one, and ultimately I would have to tell them that it's not possible to do mass executions with any kind of gas. That being the case, that says that the Holocaust could not have happened, because the Holocaust is totally based on the fact that 6 million Jews, I don't care about any other ones, because the Jews don't want to include them in the Holocaust. We can forget the gypsies, and we can forget everybody else. All we have to deal with is the 6 million Jews. And since it was not possible to build gas chambers to kill 1,000 at a time, if you will, then the Holocaust could not have happened by definition. That's what we have to do. Specifically, we have to hit what she said point by point, because otherwise the judge is not going to allow it. And what I don't understand is how did they ever question her? Jason, do you have any idea of what kind of questions were asked of her?
I do not, and that's what's just so surprising, is why she would even be there in the first place. I mean, it has nothing to do with the issue at all. I mean, I don't know if they brought her in to
to show the beliefs, you know, the beliefs of the evil white races that were there. And so that's you know, why they brought her in. But again, it has no relevance to the trial. Yeah.
Really, what should happen is that on the cross on the cross examination by the defense, I should have read a copy. I should read a copy of the transcript, and I should tell the attorney who's doing the cross what to question her on. Because I'm a complex issue, and I'm
could
sure
I jump
that
in there? I would like to jump in and just say, you know, this is all fine and good to explain why these 6 million Jews didn't get killed in gas chambers, but suddenly it's a Holocaust trial. And that is the problem here. Like, it's not a Holocaust trial. And as soon as you put the Holocaust on trial, this is like, you know, bad news, because we know where those Holocaust trials lead to. That's a big problem.
The problem is the jury pool's been tainted. We've got to figure out how to get around that. So what we've got to do is we've got to deal with Lipstadt.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a matter of rules of evidence and what the judge has allowed, what he hasn't allowed. And I got a funny feeling if the defense turns around and say, we want to bring Fred Lutcher in because he's the top expert, I got a funny feeling the judge is going to say, no, this isn't a Holocaust trial. Then the question is, why did you let the other testimony in? Well, the judge doesn't have to explain what he did. What he did is what he did. All that, and I think the best bet right now is that if they say, let's introduce evidence to counter Lipstadt, and the judge doesn't do it, that should give an automatic appeal when it goes to the appellate court. Would you not agree with that, Jason?
Yes, and I would like to make a couple points about that, Fred. Is on the cross examination, because you were talking about the cross examination.
Yeah.
If they when she was on there, I don't know if she's how long she's going to be, how long she was on there, or if they're going to call her back up. But the point is, do what? But the point is that I'm assuming that the defense counsel is going to grill her big time on her the reason why she's there. What does it have to do with the trial? Is she an expert on the conspiracy to commit crime, you know, that they're alleging? So they're going to try to show that her testimony is not relevant. And so I believe that that's what the defense counsel would have done. the attorneys that are, you know, cross-examining them, they're very sharp attorneys. So I'm assuming they're going to be grilling her on that. But also on the second point about her, every time she testified about something, about the Holocaust or whatever, and if the defense was wanting someone else to get up there, they have to make it a record why they want Mr. Lorchner there to counteract the plaintiff's testimony.
Jason, we have to go to a quick break, son. I don't know if you've heard the music, but we've got to go to our last break. People, hold on. We'll be right back. It'll be our last segment tonight, unfortunately. So I'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear people, we're not going to waste another minute. We're going to go right back to our attorney expert, Jason. We talked during the break. We're going to ask him, in other words, instead of me just asking him the question, go ahead, Jason, take off. I think I was asking you, how would we go about, in general, getting Fred on the stand, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Jason.
So what the defense counsel would have to do is they would have to say that we want Mr. Fred Lorchner to there to come and testify as an expert witness because of the fact that the plaintiffs had brought this witness, this so-called professor, testifying about the Holocaust. So we need our own expert to come and counteract her testimony. If the judge denied that request, then the defense counsel would have to make it on record why they want Mr. Lorchner there, what he would testify about, in order to preserve that for appeal issues. Because if you don't preserve that on appeal issues, then when you appeal it, you can't bring it up. And so you have to put it on the record why you would want him there to testify. But that's the only way you would be able to do that is, again, on the record, telling the judge we want this witness to come and testify as a result of the plaintiff's testimony. And again, try to throw it back in them that had nothing to do with the trial, nothing to do with the issue. But since they brought this issue up, we need to have our own expert witness.
Well, it seems to me that if the judge is not biased, and I don't know whether he is or he isn't, but it seems to me that whether he is or he isn't, he lost control of his trial when he put her on the stand. And now he's got to deal with experts on the other side, and I mean, you know, right. You know, the defense has a right to deal with the issue once the issue was opened. If it wasn't opened, if she wasn't there, they couldn't be brought up. But the judge should have known better, and he's got himself in the middle of a bad situation now, because if I was the judge, I don't think I'd want Fred Lorchner in there testifying. He's going to turn my trial into a circus.
No, the Jews don't want – the international jury does not want Fred Lorchner on there. Well, let me ask Jason this quick question before we go back to Monica. Jason, what would be the chances of getting an appeal? Do you think we would – if the procedure that you just outlined was followed, do you think there's a decent chance at any at all of getting an appeal and getting Fred introduced, maybe in a retrial or something, and getting his testimony in there? What's the chances of that?
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, because I could say, yeah, I think that's a great appealable issue. Appellate courts could say, no, that had nothing to do with the trial at all. And so it would not affect the outcome of the jury. But you got to do whatever you can to raise those issues up on appeal. But it is an excellent appealable issue, in my opinion, because if they're bringing an issue up during a jury trial and they're not allowing the defense to bring their own expert witness to counteract that, then that is an appealable issue. And so they again have to raise that on the record.
assuming that does happen, and the appeals court orders a new trial, there's no guarantee they're going to have a testify the next time.
Right, exactly.
So it could wind up all being moot.
Right, absolutely.
Well, they could allow, but they could still allow you to testify, though. Probably they could still allow Fred to testify, though, couldn't they, Jason? Even if they did bring the Lipstadt woman.
That would open the same can of worms.
Right, exactly. And so the next time going around, I know we're kind of talking hypotheticals, but if it went back again, then they would not bring her up, and they would not probably bring Mr. Lurchner up as well, because they would say, well, this has nothing to do with the actual issue regarding Charlottesville, you know. But I want to make this one comment. The fact that they had this lady, the professor, I hate to call her a lady, the professor, to testify, you know, sometimes we look at that and go, oh, my gosh, that's going to be horrible. But, you know, and you have to sometimes look at what the jury's thinking. The jury may be sitting there going, okay, what does this have to do with anything? You know, it's like they're just sitting there, you know, receiving a class on her opinions and thoughts when it has nothing to do with the issue. So, you know, it could backfire. I mean, it really could backfire. And sometimes we may not think about it, but it really could.
I never thought of that. I'm glad you brought that up. That's just a great point. Go ahead, Fred.
I think that's a very good point, because you never know what the jury's going to do or what the jury's going to say. But, I mean, they come out, no matter how you slice it, if the defense questions the fact that she shouldn't have been there, we want to bring our expert, and they say, no, you can't have an expert because that's going to turn the trial into a Holocaust circus. Well, when that happens, it should give a good possibility of an appeal. So the defense is in better shape when it's coming out of it than the plaintiffs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once they bring that open that area of an issue up, then they have to deal with it.
I mean, the case should have been
Ms. Monica.
Yeah, I'll just add something here, because. None of us know.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Monica if she had anything to chime in.
Yeah, none of us know if she actually did bring up the Holocaust. Maybe she was just answering or just talking about, you know, the general persecution of certain people or conspiracy theories. But even if that's the case, even if she never mentioned the Holocaust, she still needs to be taken. Oh, did she mention it? She did talk about the Holocaust. Did she?
Yes, Rand said that she pretty much had the floor to present. She presented the mainstream narrative of the Holocaust, and she said that Holocaust denial is anti-Semitism. She said that.
Okay, so that's
and
where they should
I forget,
have.
Monica, before I go back to you, I'm going to ask you if we just hypothetically, would you have any chance to get the transcript to that lawyer that represented Ernst Zundel? And then I was going to ask you that, and then go back to finish what you were saying. Before we run out of time, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I don't know how a person would get the transcript for the Zundel trials, the big Holocaust trials in the 1980s. But there is a great book that was written about it that covers a lot of exactly what was said in the court, and that's by Michael Hoffman, The Great Holocaust Trial, it's called. But since you have it on good authority that she did talk about the Holocaust, that's what she absolutely needs to be taken to task for. What's the relevance? So it is completely, they do need to allow the defense to bring in an expert like Fred Leuchter to counteract her witness statements. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think everything that Fred said and what Jason said is absolutely true. That this needs to be on the record then, and if they deny Fred's entry into the trial, then it needs to be on the record what was said, why they denied him a chance to testify, when and why would they allow her to testify. I mean, it just becomes so obvious that it's biased from the get-go, and so there is a conflict there, conflict of interest. The judge is biased. He's prejudiced.
Definitely. Not to cut you off, I just got another text from Rand. He says, not only did she definitely spew out the mainstream narrative of the Holocaust on and on and on. She, not only did she say Holocaust denial is anti-Semitism, she also said that white replacement theory is being anti-Semitic. See, just garbage, you know, all this garbage all over the creation. Before we leave, y'all, I hope nobody gets cheaped out of time. Since Jason's the expert lawyer, Jason, I don't know, I don't even want to say this. What we talked about this on this hour or this trial, do you have any generalities to make and comment about this trial? What is it really about? I mean, is it really about getting the Holocaust on the world stage, United States media stage, to getting our young people infused with white guilt again? Any ideas you have at all, Jason? What would you like to say, son?
The trial itself is being used. is being used to basically to threaten in a soft way, but threaten any racial groups to go out there that's going to protest, to go out there to exercise their First Amendment right, and basically to tell them, hey, if you attempt to meet somewhere, if you try to protest, if you try to hold a rally, if you try to do anything as an organization publicly, then we are going to sue you if something happens. I mean, so it's a threat. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. They're wanting to bankrupt and different organizations just because of the fact that they're out there trying to promote their interests and their cause. So that's the reason for the lawsuit. They know that these groups, these organizations, the white rights organizations, they're not bankrolled by millions of dollars. They're people, they're family members that love their people, their culture and heritage, and they don't have the money behind them as these New York firms and these New York organizations that's bankrolling the plaintiffs in these lawsuits. And so they know that. So they're hoping that they can just basically tear them apart by bankrupting them, and to basically a warning to anybody else out there that if you try to hold a rally, you try to hold a protest, and if something happens, then we're going to come after you too. I mean, so that's the main purpose behind all that, because when you had, like I said from the very beginning, they had a First Amendment right to be there. They had a permit by a federal judge to be there. And they were exercising that right, and they're still being tried in a court of law simply because they were exercising that right. And the violence that happened wasn't perpetrated by the defendants. It was perpetrated by all these other anti-white groups who was conspiring against these pro-white groups like League of the South and others for merely coming there to exercise their right. And that's where the conspiracy lies. Not with the so-called evil white races. The conspiracy was against these non-whites that were there to try to attack and hurt and maim all the white Christians that were there.
The police were in
this. That is brilliant, Jason.
The police should have arrested.
You know what, Ryan? Let me get this quick.
Okay.
Ryan said that they said that publicly, Fred. They came out and said that publicly, that they want to bankrupt. She said. That Jew said, the Jew attorney up there, Jason, said exactly what you just got through saying. That's exactly right. Go ahead, Fred. I wanted to get that in, that they want to break up. The Jew actually said, it's almost like Jason was repeating what she said. They want to bankrupt all of our, well, it looks like we're out of time. I can't believe we're out of time already. Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Rand. I'm sorry we ran out of time so fast. I think this show went faster than any I've ever seen. I'll be contacting all you precious people this week. I certainly will. Thank you, Cam. Once again, you did a great job controlling the board. I love all you people to death. I really do. I love all of our listeners. God bless you all, you out there. Support Jason and his group. Support the League of the South. And if you can, support Bud River. God bless you. Same time, same place next week. It'll be the 20th of November, and we'll have more great radio for you. Good night, everybody.